7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 72 of Color of Magic. As always, I am your host, Taquan Watson, here with some of the news that most people don't talk about around the social issues in gaming, but I do have somebody here to help me, my main man, Brian Allen. How's it going, dude?
Pretty good, and I do have to tell people, like, when you first messaged, you know, we talked throughout the day as we try to put this together, and when you first messaged me, I was in the PS5 queue, and I thought you were a PlayStation 5 alert. So I was happy to hear from you, just not as happy as I was once I realized you weren't a PlayStation. But that's
I am definitely not a PlayStation. Not a cat, not a PlayStation.
Right, not a cat, not a PlayStation. But we're ready to move forward.
Exactly. We are ready to move forward. I am neither of those things. Oh, man. So first off, I want to say, if you would like to support the show, check out patreon.com/colorofmagic. It's a way to help us keep the lights on, keep things moving, keeping us in a position where we can do this, have fun, and now produce things and get them out to people. So it's cool. We just saw some of the playmats that went to our highest reward tier go out. I saw some people post those over on our Discord, so I was super excited about that. And I should have pricing on tokens, hopefully by the end of this week, and they should be off to be printed. So we should have tokens, I'm hoping, here in the next 2 weeks, and we can start getting those out to people and selling them for people that are interested. For people who do want one of the Color of Magic playmats, we will have another run coming. COVID still has some stuff backed up, so we probably won't have those for about 3 weeks still. But once we have our hands on them, we will let everybody know, and I will find a way to post them for sale for everybody to get one who wants one. So it'd be another way you could support the show and have something cool to show for it. And we also have a show sponsor that we'd like to talk about, CardsFair.com. Great place to go sell your stuff at the price you want. Find cards at the price you want. Matter of fact, what I did a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if I told you about this, I actually went and picked up some of the, what they were, Battle Bond lands, the multicolor lands, because I was like, you know what, I think these are going to go up in value, even the new ones are going up already, so I was like, let me snag a few of these, and I found somebody who had them at a decent price, and I got a little stack of them, and I'm pretty happy with my purchase. Matter of fact, I can count them off right here. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 of them, with three of them being foil, so I got a nice little investment package, we'll call it that. Other people are doing, I guess, GameStop stonks and Dogecoins. I'm getting some Battle Bond lands. That's what I'm doing. Nice. But yeah, check out CardsFair.com. They're great. They support a lot of quality content creators, different shows, different podcasts, different streams, and they are very, very strong supporters of the better part of the community. So check them out if you haven't. But now, we've got business to tend to this week. And oh man, there is a lot to cover in the soapbox today. There is a lot. So first, I want to, for me, okay, I'll go first on this one. This is a hard discussion to have because it makes content creators sound a bit elitist. But I saw a discussion, and this was after the Arena Open things happened last weekend, where somebody had posted to, I don't remember who they tagged, but it was some limited content creators. I know they tagged LSV and Marshall and a couple others, but I can't remember who the other two were. But they had posted, well, you should have streamed this, and you have fans that are disappointed, and blah, 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 right? And LSV came on and was like, dude, this is kind of a, I mean, to use his language, paraphrasing, but he basically said, this is a crap take. Not everybody, you're not entitled to anybody's time. Like, some people don't want to stream this because of several issues. And then there were some people kind of came to LSV's defense and were like, yeah, that makes sense, right? You can't demand somebody show you something and give you their time. And then there were other people going like, well, the player has the right to be disappointed and you shouldn't treat him like this and blah, blah, blah. And that led me to making a post last, I think I'd maybe put this up on Monday, maybe Tuesday. So it was earlier this week. And I just put, okay, look, here's the thing. And this happens because I've talked to other content creators. So I said, look, as a viewer, a fan, a supporter, here's a tip. If you want something from a creator, ask nicely for it. Don't use phrases like you should, just do X, you know, you'd be better Y with this, like whatever it is. All you have to do is just phrase it nicely. And we want you to be excited, you know, as a creator. It's awesome you want to see more of our stuff. But be excited, but be polite. Don't demand. Like, I've had people come on, and I tell you right now, and I posted, like, a lot of those comments just get ignored or deleted. And I know so because I've talked to other creators that said the same thing.
Yeah.
And I told people, like, if you ever feel like you're being ignored, you probably are. Like, just being real about it. Like, I'm not even going to lie to anybody. If somebody asked me, like, hey, I posted this a week ago, why'd you not respond? And I was like, because you're a demanding idiot. I'd just tell you. Like, especially when people come on and like, build this deck, and then just names a card, or build a deck with this. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm probably not going to do that now. Because one, I already have a lot of projects in the hopper. I have decks I haven't even posted on. Hell, I have 4 or 5 things I could edit right now for YouTube that aren't even up yet. But when people come nicely and say, like, man, I've really been struggling with this card. I'd be cool if I could see you build a deck with this because you're better than I am, or whatever, right? I'd be like, okay, that's nice of you. Let me take that under consideration. You know, maybe somebody else asked for that too, and then, you know, maybe I'll go build it. You could also say, like, even in that case of this one Twitter post, right? You could have went to LSV and Marshall and been like, man, I'm really a big fan of your show. I'm disappointed y'all didn't stream it. Would have been really cool to watch y'all. I know maybe it's not something you really wanted to do, but would you consider it next time? Because I think it's something a lot of us would really like. Right? That's really all it had to be. Just it's all about wording and presentation. And then I had people post in a Facebook group. I had people post in even one of my own things. A subscriber on YouTube post like, I can't believe this is a real post. This is why I don't like content creators or whatever. And it's like, okay, well, cool. Get to stepping. Kick rocks. Like, we're going to be fine without you. Because here's the thing. It's not the thing here's the best way I could describe it. It's not about you. Right? At the end of the day, it's about the creator. And then it's about the entire audience they have to deal with. So if there's 15 of you every day, eventually they're going to start ignoring you. You're going to fall into the pile of people that they don't care to listen to. Whether you like it or not, like, yes, you want your voice to be heard. Too bad, because, and I don't even have that big of an audience compared to somebody like an LSV. His audience is probably 10 times as big as mine. So whatever I get, he's probably getting at least 50%, if not 100% more than that. So if he chooses to ignore you or whatever and not put up with it, yeah, because he's not going to deal with that from every single person.
And if you're the only person out of, let's say, you know, 100 and something people that are watching the stream or looking at the YouTube channel, if only 3 people want that, it's not a good use of the creator's time. It's just the bottom line.
That's also true.
These videos, these articles, they don't write or film themselves.
Yeah, I just tell people all the time, like even in my own community, in my own Discord, I'm like, cool. When people are polite, I will engage with them every single time I can. Even if it's not something I'm that interested in or whatever, I will do my best to engage with them if I see the comments. But if somebody's being just demanding, I'll get around to it if I have time. I won't make time for it, though. Because it's just not worth messing with you. It's just not. And I know people don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. Like, we're content creators. I think the problem is so many people look at it and believe they only see the time that they engage with the creator. So if they go and watch a 30-minute YouTube video, that's all they see from the creator. If they go watch a 3-hour stream, that's all they see from the creator. But what they don't see is that 30-minute YouTube video might have taken them 3 to 5 hours to put together.
Right.
you know, they don't see that before the stream, they went and spent an hour working on decks or whatever, so they had something ready to play. Maybe they had to make some new graphics or link a few things in their streaming software or whatever. They got some new music. Maybe they were messing with their lighting so their presentation looked better. So before you even saw that 3-hour stream,
they lost power for a week or so. You just have no idea what's going on.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's a real thing from last week. And I think that's the problem, right? People don't understand. Like, they're already dealing with a lot of stuff, and then you're another layer on top of it. So when you come demanding, if they give you a little bit of sass, ain't nobody going to come to your defense that understands. Just saying. You're going to be on an island all your own.
You know, as a comedian, we used to would tell people, like, hey, you know, get your own show. And it was a joke because, you know, in most cases, you can't. Now with YouTube, Twitch, you literally can get your own show. If you think you can do it better than a content creator, the tools are available to you to go and do that.
Yep.
Well, by all means, show us how it's done.
For real. For real. Well, you know what? I'm going to step off the box and let you step up on the box, Brian, because I hear you got some soapbox action this week, too.
Yeah, a little bit pertains to yours, because as I mentioned, still in on the, feel like Captain Ahab on this hunt for the great white whale looking for the PS5. And I saw on this great Twitter account that that gives you alerts when somebody has PS5 stock. And so happened that today that there were some Xbox Series S's available. So he mentioned that. And I mean, people started going off in the comments. It's a PS5 site. We don't care about the Xbox. Well, and I mentioned that some of us do. Some of us own both of those things. Plus, right. this is a thing this creator is doing, you know, to make money. He posts affiliate links. So, you know, if you buy a console from his affiliate link, he gets some money from that. So why would you limit yourself to one console or one product? There's no real reason to.
So wait, so why were they going off? Just because he said, like, hey, if you want an Xbox, there's some
available? Yeah, then he just had the gall to post Xboxes on an account that's called PS5, you know, dot, dot, whatever.
But
we're just violently upset that he even mentioned another console.
See, that's insane because, like, I obviously do a lot of Magic content, right, on my YouTube channel. But I've also posted a thing like, hey, here's a really cool app that could help you save some money. Right? Like, it doesn't mean you don't get to still enjoy Magic. I'm just like, yo, some of y'all are looking for, like, an investment tip. Here's a thing I'm using that I did a review on that might help you make some money. That's kind of the same thing here, right? Where it's like, y'all here for the PlayStation, but hey, I know some of y'all like an Xbox. If you want to snag one, here's a tip, right? Like, I don't, that's so ignorant, man.
Some folks act like, you know, they are on the company payroll and they lose money if you buy the other console. I'll tell you, as somebody, you know, that's covered the industry for well over a decade now, even the people that are on the payroll don't look at the industry like that. Because they know how many people own two, or in this case, multiple consoles and a PC. So there's just no reason to be that way.
Yeah, that's very small-minded thinking.
It's this is not like Coca-Cola, where like, okay, Coca-Cola tastes one way, Pepsi tastes another, we get it. You don't just completely... A video game console is a thing that has multiple types of games, multiple experiences. There's really no logical reason to be just that fanatic about one machine or the other.
Plus, here's the thing. Like, think about it this way. Like, even if you were there for PlayStation, if you really, really like the creator, you were there supporting, following on Twitter, doing all these other things, wouldn't you want them to make a few extra bucks pimping an Xbox? Like, it doesn't hurt you. It helps them, and that means they get to make more content for you.
Yeah.
Like, why would you even be against that anyway? Like, you were being detrimental to your own future entertainment. That doesn't even, like, yeah.
Because, I mean, I spent, you know, just some time this morning trying to do what he gets up and does every day. It's a full-time job.
Oh, I can tell you straight up, it's a full-time job. Like, enough that I feel bad right now. I had a couple people trying to get me on like their stream or whatever, and I'm just like, hey, I'm not dodging you. I just can't put you in for a couple weeks because I got to have some downtime with everything else going on, you know. But yeah, man, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. But let's move the show along. We have a lot of things to cover. And Brian,
hey,
you know, what did you learn last week?
I like that. That's snazzy.
Yeah, we're trying some new things around here.
I was today years old, as to say it goes, but I learned that Rick James and Neil Young both got their start in the same band. And amazingly, that band never became popular because they weren't Neil Young and Rick James at that point.
That is something I had no freaking idea. Like, right. Literally, until you just said, really?
That's, I guess, in Canada, apparently, they were the, again, they, you almost can't even say they got their start because I just that band, even with those two ridiculously talented guys, and it did not take off, leading them to go their separate ways and then become Rick James and Neil Young separately.
How ridiculous do you have to feel if you're their former bandmates?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, ah, you know, we had this group. We're breaking up. These guys ain't any good. Whatever.
Yeah, they suck.
And then 10, 15 years later, you're like, gosh, damn, they're both millionaires.
Yeah. Legends in their respective genres. I would have Rick James in the Hall of Fame. Neil Young would almost have to be at this point. Rick James should be if he's not. I don't know. Don't have my rock and roll.
Even
Hall
if
of
he's
fame
not in the Hall of Fame, we know Rick James is more famous because of Chappelle's Show.
But that too, yeah.
F your couch.
Right. But that's just mind blowing to think about you having those two. That's like, there are groups that were called super groups that didn't have as much talent as just those two guys together have.
Yep. Speaking of, actually, side note, this isn't really a what did I learn. This is just a thing that I know that I want to share with everybody, that Chappelle's Show's likely to be coming back to Netflix.
Apparently, I saw that.
Dave Chappelle negotiated with Comedy Central, got the rights of everything back to his show, and got a percentage of the cash. And they're in talks to work with Netflix and do, it sounds like, two more seasons, probably. So we'll see if we can, like, I don't know if you can do Chappelle Show humor in 2021.
I think you can. I think Dave Chappelle's going to get grandfathered in.
He maybe, because there's a lot of love for the show, but man, yeah, there was a lot of like right stuff teetering up, like the racial draft. I don't know if you can get away with that in 2021.
I absolutely think, again, every comedian can't. I couldn't, but Dave Chappelle, I think, absolutely can.
As I mean, I love the show. I think a lot of those skits were funny, man.
And even today when I hear people say, you know, such and such show could never be made, like, no, if it's funny, you can have, like, what example I was giving? Like, people tell me, oh, you couldn't make All in the Family today. You absolutely could. It's just, you know, you would, again, have to find the same caliber of writer and the same caliber of actor. That's the part that's hard. It's not, you know, that you can't make jokes about about like racial issues or political issues. You gotta handle it properly.
I want to tell you, there's this guy, he's a stand-up comedian. He was a former writer on the Chappelle Show. And he brought up a skit that I thought was great because I had thought about this before, but his delivery was amazing. But basically, a skit that didn't make it was they were going to do like the day before slavery was abolished. And, you know, basically the slave owners giving them like, well, you know, I hope everything's good. And about, you know, knowing they're about to be free or whatever. And I was like, man, that would have been a funny ass skit.
Right?
Like, that, because I've thought about that before. Like, what do you do? Like, when those type of things happen, like, what's it like the day before? When you know what's about to go down? You know what I mean? Like, because there's a few points like that in history.
Oh, absolutely.
Or like where certain things no longer illegal, but you might have been in jail for it or whatever. Like,
yep.
I'm always curious, like, what's that day, that last day like? But if you put a humor spin on it, stuff like that, if they do that for the Netflix show, could be great.
I'm so happy for him because I think we all know just the kind of the raw deal that he got. And I'd heard, you know, that the Chappelle show was that they were going to put the show back on, but I hadn't heard they were going to be able to do more episodes.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, ultimately, you know, a lot of people quit watching it because they heard what happened and he wasn't happy and how he wasn't being treated. So I'm sure that played into the viewers and the ratings on some level.
And I remember him saying one of the reasons he quit doing it was because he was doing, you know, such edgy material. And he would look around kind of the staff and the studio audience and realize a lot of these people didn't get the joke. They were just laughing at, you know, the curse words, basically. Like, oh, he said something racist.
Yeah.
Which is the danger, you know, when you do political and racially charged humor, the people just laughing because you said a racial slur as opposed to the context of the situation.
Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about that I learned, which just came up actually earlier this morning, so I had to switch my what did I learn today. And it was interesting because something happened I hadn't really considered being a thing. And I appreciate it, but it also put me in a weird place. But there was a post on Twitter about me this morning. And basically saying, like, hey, this dude's done a bunch of stuff for years in the game industry. And it looks like it was put up by somebody from, I'm assuming they had some association with Scribe Magazine. That, you know, when those were a thing for games. I'd written for that for several years. And they had showed some of the articles and whatever. And that was cool. But it was also kind of weird. The Twitter handle is CCG History. And the post is just like, hey, here's CCG Community Spotlight. Quan Watson has been long involved in the CCG communities over the years. He's been blah, 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 blah. You can also check out his popular MTG streams via at Power Dragon. And then they linked to a couple of articles, the logo to Color Magic, a picture, you know. Cool little like shout out. But it was weird to be like, I'm not sure where, like, it's cool that they want to highlight somebody, and I'm sure it's like a Black History Month thing or whatever, so I don't have a problem with that. But it's just kind of like, was there nobody else? Somebody new? You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate the love, and, you know, it drew a little bit of attention and started some conversation because people are like, oh, I didn't know you were involved with this card game or whatever. And like, that's cool. But I just felt a little, it was weird because I both appreciated it, but at the same time, I was kind of like, well, when was there going to be, like, when do we start supporting new people and celebrating new people? And then the reality of there's not that many new people.
Especially to talk about, as the article mentioned, people that have owned a game store, designed a card game, you know, done and now doing the podcast, YouTube. That list is shorter than what even you probably realized.
Yeah, that's was the bad. The more I thought about it, I was like, I don't even know who I would recommend that, you know, if they're trying to do a community spotlight with any history.
Right.
And I was like, man, that's
they brought up our, you know, favorite dead game raw deal. And
yeah.
How were there any other Black people involved in the design of raw deal? I personally am not aware of
any.
So yeah, like, that happened. They can't go back in time and put any more Black people in the room that weren't there.
Yeah, I mean, like, Baron was, I mean, what was he? He was, what, like a Belarusian or something? I mean, like, I think. That might have been the closest colored person, I would even say. You know? So yeah, it's tough to think about that, right? And
I've had similar experiences where they'll ask me to comment on something or, you know, go talk to a group and kind of in the same vein, like, hey, it's, you know, Black History Month or it's for mentorship. And I'm like, wait, me? Like you said, like, wasn't there no one else?
Yeah. And it's weird because, like, it's one of those things where, like, I'm aware of, but I try to stay so active that sometimes I don't go back and think about it, right? And most of the people I know that are now people of color that are active in the game industry or doing content creation or whatever, most of them are from the last like 3 years.
Yeah.
which is kind of sad. I mean, it's cool that we're seeing more people of color and more minority groups or whatever.
We're happy to talk about it, obviously.
Absolutely, and I think it's awesome. It's just occasionally I forget and think about, man, we were in a sad place.
Yeah.
You know, that there were just none. And I've told stories here on the podcast where I've gone to industry events, especially years ago when I was first starting, and I was like, if I wasn't the black person, I was one of like three or less at everything. And most of them, because just businesses being businesses, didn't last very long, right? So that even reduces the odds of there being another one. So it's a crazy time. It was cool to see it come up and it started some neat conversation, but it was just, the more I thought about it, I just went like, wow, I can't even recommend anyone. You know, like, yeah. I know like maybe a handful of possible store owners. Yeah, like that. I've had a store for like 8 or 10 years. But that's
one of the people that wanted me to come talk, you know, was speaking about black journalism in, at that time, Shreveport, Louisiana, and I would have had very many other people to recommend either. Maybe there might have been 5 or 6 of us total, you know, and I'm sure some people would like, some people probably had other gigs at that particular time. So yeah, when there's only 3 or 4 people you can even pull from, you know.
Yeah, that's tough, man. I don't think people realize. And that's why I bring it up, is just like, we really have come really far in the 20 years I've been a professional in the game industry. Like, the fact that I can log on, or I can invite people, or I can follow folks on Twitter or whatever, and there's a decent spread of representation. You know, where before, people would come to me because I was like the one they knew of, which is wild. You know, to even think that that was a thing once upon a time. So we're very lucky in that regard, I would say, as an industry. And again, I don't think we're completely past it. We still talk about the issues. We know what's going on out there. But it's significant. And maybe that's why people don't notice, right? Because people don't know how bad it was. So they just see what's around now and they go, oh, well, obviously it's not that bad. You know, but it's like, no, you don't know how things were even like 8 or 9 years ago. Like, we have come a long way. So it looks significantly better than it was, but we still got some work to do.
I was just about to say, like, we are certainly by no means finished, but it's much better than what it was.
Okay, on Twitter, I guess it was yesterday, or last night, actually, I saw it. One of our previous guests on the show, Mike Wildspeaker. And I'm thinking about having him back on the show, actually, because I think it'd be very cool to have the discussion about how he's had to deal with things during the pandemic with his after-school group. You know, we talked before how they didn't have a bunch of money and stuff for the program, and you don't have kids at school, so I'm kind of curious what that would be like. But his post was very heartwarming. It actually created a lot of conversation and got some people talking about, you know, this is why representation matters. When you see his group and you see how many, like, it's a mix of minorities and just backgrounds, not even minorities, in his group, and just seeing that is so cool. Yeah. You know, and saying specifically, like, you know, he says, like, this stuff matters to these kids. This is one of the reasons they're interested. They see more stuff like them and they get excited. And it's like, why would we not want this to be a thing? There were multiple people who saw this and were like, man, this stuff makes me tear up when I see it. Or, man, that's so cool seeing these pictures. And, you know, so it's like, this stuff matters. And it's hard to communicate that to people because, like, if... I don't even know. Like, and I get it, too. Like, again, I try to use myself being a man and saying, like, I'm not going to know what it's like for a woman to have a certain type of role or a lead on something or whatever, but I can see the reaction from women and how it affects them. And that tells me that's important. Right. And this is kind of the same thing. When you see school groups, full groups of kids that are excited and they want to participate and they play, and they're telling you themselves that it's important, you kind of have to accept that it's important.
Yeah.
Right. There's no way to say, you can't say it's not, when literally these pictures, like 20 and 30 kids in these programs are excited about it and they tell you why. Right. That it just is. I mean,
again,
I don't...
if you want this game to continue, and I'm assuming if you love the game, you want it to continue after you're gone, you got to get young people in, and you got to have, you know, a more diverse fan base also.
Yeah, and this is how, when you talk about making change, this is kind of how it happens, right? You have kids start out being interested. They see themselves in the game. They grow up attached to it. They have ideas. They're theorizing, hell, I don't know, maybe cards they want to make or whatever, or ways they could promote the game. And then they end up working for Wizards, for Hasbro, or I don't know, maybe even Nintendo on Pokemon or whatever, right? But then that's how you get those long-term changes. Because people keep saying, well, how do we change it? How do we make it better? It's like, you have to systemically change things. And this is, like, seeing things like this show you, like, these are kids that will grow up. And obviously not every single one of them is going to play card games forever or play games forever. But if even 20% of this group does, and half of them go to work in the industry somewhere, then all those companies they go to work for are going to be better off for it. But we don't get that down the road in those companies if they don't start there with the level of interest. They'll just be playing some other game or be into sports or whatever else it is. They just wouldn't be playing Magic in this case. So, I mean, I thought it was really cool to see this. You know, also, by the way, I don't know if you saw the pictures. They have a Teferi posted up in their background even.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Like you said, they just, you know, they gave me all the feels.
Yeah, and it makes me, I mean, I think about the fact that when I found the game, I literally just stumbled across it. And I just happened to be a nerd who was already into, like, just, our family just played games, you know, with my friends. We played board games, card games, whatever. So this was just a different way to do it. And I'd already been recently introduced to D&D, so the timing was right. But without that weird serendipitous moment, there's a good chance I would have never been involved with Magic. Like, literally, if a friend of mine, while we were in that mall, would have been like, hey, why don't we go to this place first? Or why don't we go grab a bite to eat instead or whatever? I probably would have went and done that. I would have never crossed the game for years. And by then, I wouldn't even have built that early interest. So the more opportunities we get to put this in front of kids and people of color and whatever, you really get a chance to start making that normal. And it's not a special cause. It's not something we just have to point out because it's part of the everyday culture of the brand. And that's what you're aiming for.
Right. And if you don't play, you know, and I don't meet you and see you out there helping design card games and owning a comic shop and making Black history, whether you realize it or not, I'm definitely not doing this podcast. As you said, I probably wouldn't have picked up Magic at the same time that I did.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it's a Wonderful Life thing. You know, what happens without Daquan Watson? It just all sorts of things are completely different.
It's weird, man. It's weird to be in that position, I'll tell you. Yeah.
Now, we've had people come on the show and talk about how, you know, seeing you playing Magic and streaming Magic inspired them to get out there and do it.
Let me say this, since we're getting all into our feels here. It wasn't all happy times on Twitter this week from a racial perspective. And I have to quote this because it's part of the story.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to say that. I mean, there's really no way to really say this without just being offensive because that's what it was. I mean, there's really no way to describe it. But there's a gentleman on Twitter. His handle is Teferi MTG, just like it sounds, TeferiMTG. Sorry. And he cosplays as Teferi, obviously a Magic fan based on his handle. And he was, I guess, he posted something on a different social platform about the Secret Lair Black is Magic. And then he got a response that was a meme, if you want to call it that. I will call it a picture that had a shocked face, an ugly one at that, and said, "Behold, the nigger lair." So if you think we're past the whole racism thing, just know that somebody who is a heavy supporter of the game, to the point that he uses both a Twitter handle and cosplays as Teferi, who was nothing but happy and supportive and wanted to talk about a secret lair he was into because it had things that represented him, got that kind of picture sent to him. So, is,
people
go ahead.
Just, yeah. And this, this is what I think the second time in the past 3 or 4 months where we've been talking about Teferi and artwork featuring Teferi and people defacing it or something along those lines. And we're here again.
Yeah.
Some people think like, oh, y'all are just, you know, trying to stir up. No, that's not what we wanted to be talking about this week. It wasn't what I wanted to be writing about when they were, you know, when they were doing jokes about Teferi throwing his child away. And that's not what we want to talk about when we're talking about Magic, but that's time and again, that's where we're just the sickest, most dysfunctional elements of our community, that's where they drag us to. Just
yeah,
on a pretty much monthly, if not weekly basis.
And this is
because for everything we see, there's probably 10 of these that we don't see because it's somebody that just that doesn't put it on social media or just doesn't talk about it.
Well, that's exactly what I was about to say, right? I think that's the part people keep missing is that when you see a post like this, this is probably one of like 5 to 10 times this has happened to this person in the last 3-4 months. So to think that this has just gone away or this doesn't exist or things are better, like, that's why I say we still have a long way to go. And, you know, I've talked about it on here, even, you know, last month or whatever it was, like, you know, having racist knuckleheads come up in my stream and post some stuff. You know, people unsubscribing from my YouTube channel because I did a positive review of Secret Lair Black is Magic. Hell, people sending me private messages that I had to report over it. Right? It's
just actively trying to steal people's joy about a really beautiful product.
Yeah, and I don't, and personally, I could care less about the comments because, like, it's not that I hadn't heard before. It's not like I haven't been insulted, attacked, whatever, at various points well before my life now. You know, one of those things where I was trained for this, right?
Right.
Not a big deal. But the fact that other people who are just trying to enjoy themselves or just to be excited about something that's 100% harmless are being attacked, being harassed, whatever, like, that's what sucks. I accept the fact that I'm putting myself out here on a podcast, that I'm putting myself out there on streams, you know, 20, 30 hours a week. Like, I get it. I'm making a spectacle of myself. I don't necessarily deserve to be attacked, but I'm accepting what comes with that. I know the reality of the situation. But somebody just trying to have fun and celebrate a thing and be happy about a thing, getting racist pictures sent to them, that's just uncalled for and unnecessary. So, I don't know. Like, it's just frustrating when you see that type of stuff.
And this is one of those things where they can say, oh, Brian, it was a joke. You understand? Like, no, this is obviously the most hideous looking, but the whole object of this is to offend. In no context is this humorous or anything other than just, it's meant to be a racial slur. It's meant to offend the person that sees it. It's meant to offend everybody that sees it.
Yeah, it's poor quality and includes a racial slur. Like, there's no room at all to say that's a joke. Like, literally no room. And I'd say right now, if anybody you step up and want to defend that, I'm putting you on blast publicly.
Yeah.
I'm just saving you the effort right now. If you don't want the embarrassment, stand down. Because I'll put it out there. Like, I ain't going to feel bad about it. You've been warned. For real. All right. Another thing I wanted to bring up, because I've seen this on a couple of Facebook posts recently, is people, and not even just in Magic. I've seen this for a couple other things, too, because I do some team fight tactics and whatever, and I've talked about that. But people that try to use their, effectively their ladder ranking as a flex. That is some very sad, we'll call it small penis energy.
Yep.
Like, literally, I've literally seen people go, oh man, I finally made it to, you know, whatever, depending on the game, you know, finally made it to like silver two or something or whatever. And people are like, wow, you're still not at Diamond, or you're still not at Mythic, or something. Like, so what? They're still celebrating their small victory. I was just telling people last night on stream, like, there could be a lot of reasons this person has not had the opportunity to succeed. They could have been having to work overtime. They might be working 2-3 jobs, so they don't have time. They're trying to keep their family fed and their lights on. Some people just may not have wanted to be super competitive. Yeah, like, who knows? There are a ton of reasons that somebody could possibly not have hit higher rank. And let's be honest, too. Some of that is also a bit of luck. Some of it's also just time to grind.
Yep.
You know, because I'll tell you, I'm not even good at teamfight tactics. But I can clear bronze and get up to silver and whatever. And, like, I don't even play that often. I wouldn't call myself good at the game. But I can rank up a little bit. So, like, somebody walking around bragging, they're like, well, I made Mythic in 4 days or whatever. Okay, cool. So you sat around and played a bunch. Awesome. Like, I always tell people, like, if that's what you're going to do, go hop over to MTG Melee and just sign up for tournaments every day. And then at the end of the month, tell us how much you won.
Yeah.
Right? Go put yourself out there with other people who are also being competitive, trying, playing their best of three, like, doing their thing. Because MTG Melee has tournaments that are basically free to like $5 or $10 that happen every single day, multiple times a day. Go sign up for some 30, 40 person events. See how much, like, I don't know, gems you win or store credit you get or products sent to you or whatever. And then tell us about it. Because this beating people on ladder doesn't do anything. Like, I've told you before, I have people that step up to my YouTube channel, and when they see a video, like, well, this deck works, but you're only playing at Diamond. You're not at Mythic. Then how do I know? Like, man, get out of here. Like, even this month, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get to Mythic so I can shut some people up. Literally did that in a couple of days on stream. And then now I just goof around with decks that are able to still win at Mythic. So it's like, come on. It doesn't mean anything. It literally doesn't. If you're going to try to be in the top 1,200 and you want to play in the big events every quarter or whatever that you qualify for, great. Then maybe you have some bragging rights and you're trying to do a thing. But I'd also say, if you keep finish top 1,200 and you're not even finishing top 32 in these events or whatever, well, you know, make of it what you will. I don't know. How do you feel about that, dude? Because I know you play more video games than I do. Not
everybody wants to be, you know, the, like, top 1,200. So some people literally are just playing this to unwind after they get off work or before they go to work or whatever.
That's also true. I mean, just people don't have the same desires and the same goals. I mean, for me, I think I've mentioned it before. Like, I enjoy going out and bowling. But I am bowling might be one of the sports I am the worst at. But I enjoy doing it. And when people come up and they're trying to give me like tips and pointers, I literally tell them like, no, I'm good. Like, I'm not bowling out here for money or anything. Like, I'm okay being bad at it. I actually kind of enjoy being bad at it.
It's like karaoke for you. You know, it's
just... Yeah, I can turn my mind off and just goof around. I can sit around, eat some mozzarella sticks and onion rings and have a drink and just enjoy shooting the breeze between throwing the ball down the lane. But it's weird to people, and I've had that happen, where people are like, well, but you could be doing this, and you could be getting more strikes. And we're like, yeah, I could, but I don't care to. right? Like, we both agree that I could be better at this. Hell, I was roommates with a guy for a while years back that was a professional bowler in its past life. I could have gotten actual tips if I wanted to. Didn't care to. I could have been a kingpin. I just had to get me with a fake hand or whatever.
Right.
But no, I actively made the decision to not be better because it's not how I chose to engage with that activity. Not everybody is getting the same thing out of it. And even for me, like I said, playing Teamfight Tactics, like on TFT, when I first cleared silver, I was like, oh, sweet. You know, like that's a thing I did. I hadn't even thought about it, but I got there. Awesome. And the same thing when, and you know, some other creators out there play like Yeoman 5, Brian Gottlieb, you know, these guys play too. So occasionally we'll share posts on Twitter. And there's, even though they're way more competitive and better at it than I am, they're still helpful. Or when I have a thing and I have a comment and I'm like, hey, does this work the way I think it does? Cause this, you know, this composition seems kind of weird or whatever. And like, oh yeah, that's not too bad or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, cool. But you know, a knucklehead who was at Diamond or whatever would have probably been like, I don't know why you're doing that. That's so dumb, whatever. But you know, they're like, yeah, I don't know if it'd work at the higher tiers, but it works at probably like bronze where you're playing. All right, cool. Great. Thanks, guys. You know, that's all you have to do. And again, this comes back to build up the thing you're a fan of.
Yeah.
Like, I constantly tell people, for you, let's assume, we know most people, there's a lot of tryhards who aren't as good as they think they are. But let's assume you are as good as you think you are. A little bit of assumption, but we're going to roll with that. If you are, and you think you can win prize money or be successful or turn it into a content career or whatever, you need there to be people on the bottom of that pyramid. Like, you absolutely need that. Without them, there is nothing for you. So when you're being an ass and chasing people off and insulting them and knocking them down every time they're trying to celebrate something and they eventually go away, the thing you want or the thing you're trying to be successful with is not going to exist, or at least not going to grow from that point forward. I mean, I tell people, it's not like poker tournaments, right? When you go to the World Series of Poker, the main event has a $10,000 buy-in. They do all these crazy side events so people can win their way in for like $100 or whatever. They know that I would say at least 90% of the people in that event have no real chance of winning it. And I would say probably even half the people playing in the event don't even have a real shot at winning cash back from the event, which I believe pays like 15 or 20% of the field makes money. But the only reason that first prize gets to be like $6 million is because you have all these other people in the system trying to get in, playing these satellites and everything else to qualify, right? Without all those people, there is no $6 million first prize. And if every one of those
trying pros, to qualify, they're at home watching it on ESPN, adding more money to the prize pool.
Absolutely. And that's one of those things, right? When they tell you, like, it's like when I'm at a poker table and you see somebody who's bad, but they're a tourist maybe, or they're just hanging out, or they're just getting out their house and that's their downtime and they've got money to throw away. Great. So what? They're making some bad plays and get lucky or whatever. You don't insult them or whatever and chase them away from the table. You want them to keep playing and contributing.
Especially same if they're thing bad, you absolutely want them to keep playing, right?
Yes, but the same thing applies to your gaming, right? You need these players on the lower and mid levels to keep being there, to buy the cosmetics, to buy more packs, to tune in on Twitch and watch these tournaments and all this other stuff, right? That all contributes to the grand scheme of things. So don't insult people when they're celebrating a small win. Celebrate it with them, or at least give them a tip. If you really have to be a jerk, be like, cool, here's some things you can do to get from, I don't know, silver to gold or whatever. That at least would be helpful.
Yeah.
Or just don't say anything, like your grandmama probably taught you. Just let it roll. It's fine. There's just no reason at all to just be that way to people. It's a weird flex anyway. Like I said, unless you're actually making money at it. But hell, even then, there's players, pro players, even in Magic, that aren't in the Mythic ladder. You know why? Because they spend their time doing other stuff. They spend their time practicing and doing other things and working on new decks or whatever. They're not worried about hitting Mythic in the ladder. Sometimes they do it if they just want to test a thing and play 20 or 30 games over a couple hours really quickly. But that's about it. I mean, just saying you made it to the top doesn't do anything if it's not your job or you're not monetizing it. And even then, there's still no reason to insult the people at the bottom of the chain. They're just not. All right, Brian, why don't we tell people an update? Because I know we haven't even talked about this. We cleared the weather and all the mess that was down there in Texas last week. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. We've had power and water for, well, since last week when I talked to you. So we are absolutely fortunate by that. People that still are without water, or if they're having to boil their water, or ration their water.
Yeah, I've seen a few people talk about that.
Still nightmares for a lot of people. And then I don't know if you saw how many people have it. In addition to, not having had power for half of the month of February, they're getting served with $10,000 electric bills.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, actually. Like, because to me, that's baffling, right? Like, you might have had your electricity for like 2 hours out of every day for about a week. And somehow, when you had the electricity on for those 2 hours, that adds up to like $5,000.
Yeah.
At the end of the week, when you might normally only have like a $200 electric bill. Hopefully that didn't happen to y'all.
As of right now, nothing has been out of the ordinary, but I guess we'll find out more about that in the coming weeks. But what we are learning is that apparently, because no real regulations in terms of energy in Texas, it's kind of a wild west in terms of who can sell energy, what they can charge for it, how quickly they have to turn your power back on if, things have gone haywire. Because reports are coming out now that if they hadn't started doing the rolling blackouts when they did, Texas was seconds or minutes away from having outages for months in parts of the state.
Yeah, that's rough.
The grid was apparently close to critical mass, if you will, which is just frightening when you think about, this is supposed to be, civilization, as it were.
Yeah, that's a tough one to live with, man. And I don't
know how many people were jokingly, some were serious, talking about Texas should secede from the union.
Well, here's the thing. Like, what I'm worried about, and I'm hoping y'all don't run into this. What I don't think people realize is a surprise bill like that could set, especially if they end up not doing anything about it and people are on the hook for these like crazy multi-$1,000 electric bills, like this is going to set families back.
Yeah.
Some of them years, because you're going to have this bill hanging over you that you're going to be making probably some monthly payment plan for like $200 or $300 a month.
A bill in excess of $10,000, that's like student loan debt at that point.
Yeah, like some people will be paying on that for the better part of probably 3, 4, 5 years, possibly.
And apparently the governor is talking about, having some kind of moratorium on bills, especially bills that are obviously excessive. So we'll see where that is, because I don't know if anything's been done like that before. Some people are questioning whether the governor is going to have the rights or the power to do that. But hey, I guess that's the benefit of not having a whole bunch of regulations. Maybe he can do that.
Man, this is just like the extension of just like crazy things to happen that started last year.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking about too, is that it really did kick off at the end of January with that Kobe helicopter crash.
Yeah.
And then we just never came out of that, it feels like. It's just been thing after thing after thing,
I mean, when we heard Tiger Woods was hurt, it's like, oh my God, what is even happening right now?
That happened this week, too. Rolled his car or whatever. They said he had to have leg surgery, so yeah. It must have been pretty bad.
It's like, this cannot be happening again, can it? Thank God he apparently is going to be at least, you know, playing is secondary. He's alive. That's really the most important thing, because from the looks of that car, it could have gone a completely different way.
Yeah, but I'll be honest, man. I am at least glad for y'all that things are okay. I mean, I did my best to try to communicate with people down there. I have in-laws that were dealing with stuff. They didn't have, I believe, water for three or better part of like 2.5 days. Electricity was off and on, but more on than off. Lucky for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a thing, man. Especially when you talk about, I heard like people freezing to death, you know, yes. Elderly people's medicine going bad or whatever. Just it's terrible, man. It's terrible.
Because I mean, nobody's, you know, you have power outages. They're usually during the summer.
Yeah. And Texas,
it's gotten too hot, you know, is usually what happens. I mean, Texas is unfamiliar with, oh, it's so cold, they got to shut off the power. And as we see, we are just completely unprepared for it.
Yeah.
And as you know, our weather, it seems to be getting, we can argue about why, but the facts are, weather has been crazy for what, easily 7-10 years now?
Yeah. We go all the way back to, was it, when we started hearing about El Nino?
Yeah. So it doesn't even matter what you think the cause is, it's happening. So it's just, in addition to trying to figure out what's causing it, we got to figure out how to keep power grids intact. You know, how to just, if we believe the reports, and from what I've seen, I do believe the reports, we were minutes away from being back in the 1800s in so many ways.
Yeah, that's just crazy to even think about. All right, Brian, you told me you have a fun, I say fun, interesting story about Xboxes and Black History Month.
Yeah.
So well, I'm going to let you take the floor and tell us.
Okay. Well, like so many other companies, you know, Microsoft is trying to do some things for Black History Month and celebrate some of the games with Black main characters. I pulled up the list of, you know, their Black History Month games because, hey, by all means, I want to check these games out. And I think the first one was, you know, The Walking Dead, Michonne. Like, okay, that's great. Michonne is an incredible character. I love her in everything she's been featured in, from the comic books. And then we went from Walking Dead, Michonne, to, I think, game number two on the list was The Sims.
Damn.
It dropped off the table real quick.
Wait, but that's not even comparable. Like, you got one like, okay, close. Here's a character that got some TV time that everybody's attached to, got to be the branded character on a game, to Sims, where they don't even speak a real language.
Yeah, and the character is like, whatever you name the character. Remember that time Bob the Baker did something cool in your Sims game? And as I went through the list and did some more research, there were some cases where, okay, if you looked at it, like, maybe there was somebody that was Black on the development team, or there's a Black voice actor. But the point that was, and I'm sure they were frustrated with this too, and this is part of why we talk about this all the time, is that was how hard they had to struggle. They couldn't find even three, or really even two games where they could find a Black main character to put on the cover that anybody would recognize.
Yeah,
that's why we complain about diversity in games.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think, like, I mean, obviously excluding sports games.
Yeah.
I don't know if one comes to mind off the top of my head. I mean, there's some Black
clearly there's not, because you know people that get paid a lot tried to put this list together and went from Michonne to Sims 4 just that quick.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, there's like, what, Jax in Mortal Kombat or whatever?
Yeah, see, like, that's, I think Killer Instinct was one of the games they listed. And because of, I think, TJ Combo, which is basically the same character.
Yeah, I'm just like, I mean, God.
Balrog, so if you go do that, that's part of the problem there, is like, Balrog, Jax, and TJ Combo are all basically the same character. You can't use all three of them.
Yeah, that's tough.
Because it points out the other problem that, hey, black boxer character is in every game. It's one of the few characters that we do have.
Maybe I'll post that on Twitter and see what people come up with. I think it'd be interesting. Because there's probably something I'm not thinking, or maybe somebody just don't know about. It could be cool to have people tell us about a few things that I may have
The first Walking Dead video game, Lee Everett was a great character. But again, they probably didn't want to say, like, hey, yeah, same game series. Because that almost points out the fact that, boy, really nobody other than Walking Dead is doing much with the black character.
Yeah, that's tough.
And as I went further into some of the other games they picked, it was like, oh, typical, like I said, it's, you know, the fighting, it's the boxer character, or it's the main character's black best friend, like in Final Fantasy VII, for example. But if you wanted to find, and obviously for Black History Month, you would ideally like to find an identifiable main character, like Michonne is perfect.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that one actually makes sense. I'm like, okay, cool. I get why you have that on the top of your list. But the fact that your number two wasn't even close?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. Yeah, if y'all can think of some, hop over to our Twitter page for Color of Magic. You can just @ColorOfMTG and let us know if there's something we're thinking about or not thinking about or we're missing. Because I'm sure there's something obvious there that we might have missed. That as fans, there's something y'all probably know. And if I don't, I'd be cool to check it out, really.
Because, hey, if we missed it, it's not just us. Microsoft missed it, too. Yeah, they were looking for it really hard. So let Xbox know. They need to help.
All right, Brian. This is going to be kind of one of our lighter dinner table conversations. Okay. But I wanted to ask you, and maybe because you may have seen more advertising and brand deals or whatever in media outside of gaming. But what are your views on content creators working with brands? And I'll tell you this, I'll just be transparent. One of the reasons I even started thinking about this is I had a company reach out to me last week when their clothing brand, which was part of it was like, oh, that's cool. Like I crossed somebody's radar. Right. And they're like, hey, we want to pay you X amount if you like do a review of our stuff and blah, blah, blah. And they don't want anything heavy, you know, just maybe like a 1 or 2 minute intro on a YouTube video or something. And I was like, okay, I'll check it out. But I will tell you this, like I was upfront with them. I was like, look, I checked out their website and everything else. And I was like, they have some neat stuff. But I was like, I don't wear a lot of like crazy patterns. I don't wear a lot of like graphic tees that often, right? Like, so you probably don't want to send me that stuff. But if you send me this, this, and this, so it is authentic and it's something I would normally buy, then I'll review it. And if I don't like it, I just won't put it up. I'll just send you the stuff back, you know, or whatever. But they were cool. We went back and forth. So I'm going to be doing a thing soon. And I'm sure some people are going to hate it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because I'm getting some clothes and they're paying me. So just being real, not, you know, and like I said, if it's good stuff, I'll tell y'all it's good stuff. I will tell you right now, if it's bad, there's not going to be a review being done. Like I even told them up front, I'm not just going to have you send me stuff. I'll gladly send it back if that's the case. But I don't know how you feel about that. Like do people want only, like as you, as a viewer or a fan of things, like, is it weird for you if you see a gamer doing a thing for, I don't know, something that's not directly a video game or controller or something?
I mean, I don't have a problem with it as long as the creator says, you know, up front, hey, I'm getting paid for this, you know, that it's not like, hey, you know, just random, like Wayne's World, just, hey, how about a nice refreshing Pepsi or whatever. It's just plainly obvious. Usually if I'm a fan of a creator, I am happy to see that, you know, that other people have seen what they're doing and want to reach out to them and, you know, buy them a chair or a coffee or whatever.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, right? Like, I've seen that on other things. And I'll be honest, one of the companies I have to start the process over again with that I would like to work with is actually an eyeglasses company. I think they have a cool service. It's affordable. I actually have bought some of their glasses and enjoy them. And I know a lot of people that wear glasses that are also gamers. So I'm like, well, this is probably a thing, Right?
This that house has several of them. So, I mean, I've always been wanting to know that if there's a way to get glasses cheaper.
Yeah. So I'm like, that would be a cool thing to have a partnership with. Right. So I've pursued that. But I also know, I mean, I also have a deal with like Ultra Pro and I support their stuff all the time. We do giveaways and everything else. And
I always feel like if it's a product that I use, I am never upset or that I feel like I might be interested. I'm never upset about seeing the commercial. I'm probably in the minority on that.
I don't know. For me, it's like I know I have been introduced to things or brands because other people I've watched or followed were doing a, you know, maybe it's a one-shot brand deal or something. But it's like, oh, I didn't even know that existed. That actually sounds kind of cool. Maybe I'll check it out later. Which is the whole purpose of them doing the commercial effectively for these brands. So I'm not really bothered by it myself. I mean, I've talked before about, you know, people viewing others as sellouts because they're getting paid. And for me, it's just like, hey, I like you. I see you working hard. If somebody's willing to come pay you for that hard work, great. You won. Right? I'm not going to crap on you for collecting a paycheck. I mean, as long as you're being genuine about it. Yeah. I mean, if it's like, if I came on and, you know, like, I'm not down with Nestle, but if I came on and I was like, well, Nestle bottled water, blah, blah, blah. Like y'all, I would expect the internet to blow me up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't care if Nestle rolled up with like a $10,000 check. I'd be like, Ooh, I can't. Like, I know what road this goes down. Like, I just can't do it. Or if I did,
on the other hand, Nestle would love your $10,000.
Yeah. Or if I did, I would just be up front and be like, y'all, Nestle gave me a big pile of money to do this. So, like, I would just be blunt about it. Like, no secrets. Like,
you could, this is the only I've heard reason. People, like, they read the ad copy and then they just savage the ad. Jim Rome will do some stuff like that where he does ad copy and Jim Rome style, essentially either running down the product or he's just doing a bit, you know, and people still love it because millions of people still heard it.
That's probably the only way I could do it. It would be, honestly, man, it would be hard for me to take. Like, I guess I'm too genuine sometimes. It would be hard. I'm trying to think, like, what's the number for me to, like, if Nestle rolled up and said, we will give you a check for X amount to do this thing, would you do it? I don't, it's hard. Like, I'm like, I want, like, part of me is like, dude, you'd be dumb not to take the money. But the other part is like, yeah, but Nestle's really effed up. It'd have to be north of like 20-30K probably, even for a one-off deal for me to want to do it.
One in gaming that's starting to get a lot of attention because, I mean, they're almost kind of like Twitch streamers' first sponsor is G Fuel.
Yeah, I've seen G Fuel around. I've looked into their stuff, but they do a lot of like affiliate deals. They don't really do. They have like a small group of people they do sponsor, but a lot of their stuff is just affiliates. Like, you know, people who use your code get 10 or 15% off, and then you get a percentage of that or whatever for each one sold, that sort of thing.
The thing that's become controversial is, you know, you've probably seen several stories of somebody where all they drank for 12 hours of G Fuel, then they fall dead.
Well, I hadn't heard that.
Oh, yeah. There's been a couple of cases where somebody drank too much G Fuel, or they, and for all we know, because, you know, you hear about the G Fuel because they sponsor everybody. For all we, because I don't hardly see where anybody ever follows up. They could have been drinking G Fuel, Mountain Dew, I forget whatever their power. We don't know what all they drank and if they were also vaping. But what has made some of the headlines in gaming is, you know, somebody drinking too much G Fuel. So now people are saying maybe gamers shouldn't support this company because it's not healthy to drink nothing but G Fuel. But by that token,
it's not healthy to drink nothing but Coca-Cola either.
Right. Or, you know, or to eat nothing but Burger King. You know, you'll fall dead if you eat three Whoppers every day for the rest of your own, probably at that point, short life. But nobody will tell you not to work with Burger King. I won't say nobody, but most people wouldn't have a problem with you doing a Whopper ad, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, and I want to say this too. I think for me, that is the biggest difference right now. I think there are a lot of affiliate opportunities, but I'm mostly looking for partnership opportunities now.
Yeah.
I will be honest, like anybody who's seen myself, I do have like the small affiliate deal with like affiliate links for like Amazon's program. And I have the affiliate stuff for like TCG Player. But those aren't going to make any real money for me. I just put them there because, like, hey, if you're using these things, if you at least use one of my links, I'll get 1-3% back or something. And, you know, you'll be contributing a little bit to help me out. But they're not, and, you know, they don't add up to much in a month's time. They're a few bucks here or there. But ultimately, I want a partnership deal so I can, like, I want to align brands. Like, that's more important to me.
Yeah.
That if we can have a working relationship and, like, new stuff comes out and I can do some cool promos or it's stuff I'm going to use and I can help promote it, especially if it's something that, like, you know, once we're back to whatever the new normal is and we can go do events and stuff that I could show and support and whatever, that's cool. You know, if the company has an active social media program and can help build my brand, that's cool. You know, so I do pass up several affiliate deals. I've had some people reach out just last week, or 2 weeks ago, actually. And I just was like, yeah, but I'm just not looking for an affiliate thing, right? Like, and I get it if you don't have the reach and you don't have the network yet. I think it's a thing you could do and consider, because at that point, any little bit helps. Yeah. And if nothing else, you're at least establishing a relationship that, who knows, maybe you and your brand, it's just the right fit, and a bunch of people start ordering from these companies, and then they start looking at you as you get more followers, and maybe you do get a full-on partnership or sponsor deal, and that'd be cool. But for me, it's a matter of, like, I try to at least mention or promote the things where I can and whatever, and, like, I just don't want to have 6 brand logos on my stuff and have to mention 7 different links, you know, on my YouTube videos every time or whatever to make any of the money off of it, right? At that point, I'm probably doing more for the brands than the brands are doing for me. Whereas I can say, at least my deal with Ultra Pro and even with the show with Cardsphere, you know, they retweet our stuff when we put stuff up. When either of us gets mentioned, they share it. You know, they're being active and helping support and build our brands.
And we tell you at the beginning that, hey, we both work with Cardsphere, so we're not, so lest you think it's coming out of left field. But again, we were talking about them before they gave us any money.
Yeah.
Because they're cool people.
And that's
like you said, the brand, they fit with what we're talking. They support creators that talk about the kind of issues we like to talk about. And not every business wants to support the kind of issues we like to talk about.
Yeah, and let me say that too, because I don't think people even know that about Ultra Pro. Like, they are selective about who they actually support. Like, you know, I'm on their thing, but I think Ashlyn's on there. I know the ladies with Good Luck High Five. Well, it's not Good Luck High Five anymore. Oh, yeah, it is. That's what it is now. They used to be Magic the Amateuring. But they've got them on there. You know, it's all really good creators, you know, that are diverse background, you know, making sure they have good gender representation. So that was another reason when we talked, I was like, okay, these are some of the right people to be working with, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing for me. Like, I don't care if a creator is getting paid. Hell, I want you to get paid. Honestly, if I like your stuff, I want you to be able to be around and feed yourself and your family or whatever. Like, good on you. I don't want to see anybody struggle, truthfully.
Right.
I don't care if I follow your content or not. I don't have to like you. I hate seeing people struggle. So if you can get paid and it lets you keep doing what you enjoy doing, then yeah, go get it. I ain't going to be mad at you. Only thing I say is just make sure it's a company you do truly want to enjoy with, that your brands align, and ultimately you are proud to be part of those deals.
Right.
Not just proud of the money.
You don't want to be like, who are you sponsored by today? Hey, it's vapes for babies. You know, no, you don't want that deal.
And I've told people before, I will gladly take all the sponsors in the world. I will wear a NASCAR jacket with labels all over it, as long as I believe in each one of those companies. Like, I got no problem with it. Like, I can be bought. You know, let's be real about it. Like, I'm not going to hide that fact.
As the philosopher Ted DiBiase once said, everybody's got a price.
Damn right. Everybody's got a price. Him and who was that? The Indian dude they had that get people to come in and kiss his feet or whatever?
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. I've already forgotten his name. Sad.
Man, yeah, because that dude was like in the early 90s. I can't remember that dude's name. But anyway, same whole spiel. He was just
Tiger
like
Ali Singh. It took me a minute.
Yes, he was like the Indian Ted DiBiase.
Yep. It was, they 7 years. They've done that so many. Because JBL was essentially another Ted DiBiase with a cowboy hat.
Sort of, but he didn't have the same like panache that the other two had, I think. Yeah. But really, I think it's a good thing. I really do. I think when a content creator can get the eye of a brand and they're reaching out, you know, really talk to them about it. Because what I did is when they reached out to me, I was like, cool. So I took about 15 minutes and I gave them a complete response. I was like, cool. I checked out your website. I think you guys do some great things. I saw some other people that you sponsor. That's cool. But here's how it would work for me because I want it to be authentic. And it's only going to be better for you if it comes off good for me. So here's some things. You know, here's also my followings. Here's what I can do if you need something, whether you want like a couple of Twitter posts, if you want some stuff on Instagram, you know, whatever. And they were cool with it. You know, and I think that's the thing more than if I could give a content creator any advice as far as getting brand deals is when you reach out or when they reach out to you, make sure you have your numbers. You know, make sure you know, hey, here's how many followers I have on each thing. Here's how many hours I spend on each platform. You know, this is the number of views I get average per month or whatever. Like, keep track of that stuff because that's what's important. Just saying you have 100,000 subscribers on YouTube doesn't mean anything if the 100,000 only has a click-through of like 2% and you only get 2,000 views on a video. You know, I have videos that I do 2,000 views and I've got 10,000 followers. So, like, if they were going to spend their money, they can get cheaper work from me and get the same number of views, right? So you got to know all that stuff.
And he'll wear a NASCAR jersey. So they get.
I will. If you see me, for real. I ain't lying. Like, but that's the thing. I think people don't realize that. I see a lot of people who said they've reached out or whatever. And I said, cool, what information did you give them? And they're like, oh, well, I just told them the platforms I do stuff on and, you know, how long I've been doing it. And I'm like, well, okay. But everybody does that. Like, what makes you important? Like, show, there's really two things. Show that you're treating it like a business and you give a damn. And then show that you understand that the company needs to get something from you. Because too often, I think people are worried about, well, I need to get paid. I need to get sponsors. I need to pay my bills, whatever. Like, cool, they get that. But for giving you that, what are they getting? And I tell people, my deal with Ultra Pro, like, I sent them a long message. I was like, hey, I do all these things. You know, if you need this from me on Twitter, I can do these types of posts. If you want these types of videos on YouTube, I can do these things. If you want me to do stuff on Twitch, I can do these things. And we went back and forth. So they knew, hey, I'm for real. Like, I know what I'm capable of. I'm not going to stretch myself. I'm not going to offer too much. If this works for you, cool. Let's do something. And it did. And we're good now. But they also said they almost get that from no one. And I went, yeah, doesn't surprise me. Like, gamers are bad at business. Like, we just are. We're so worried about being great at the thing we're fans of or that we play that we don't really take time to analyze and look at the business aspect of everything. And I told you before, I think that's one of the reasons Ninja has been so successful, that him and his wife, who I guess is his PR manager, like, they spend a lot of time brand building. He's already good at games. Like, so how can you turn that into something? And he was one of the first ones to do it. And he followed the right games at the right time. Right. And, you know, the dude's made whatever, like $40, $50 million in the last 5 years. Which is crazy to think about for playing games. But, you know, he found a way to do it.
Because, I mean, there was a time when we weren't sure whether Fortnite or PUBG was going to be the bigger game. And he chose correctly. Many other people chose poorly.
Yep. And I, you know, and I know people begrudge him or whatever, but if I'm ever upset at anything about him, it's not going to be because of his success. Like, the dude has done so much right to brand build. He's earned it. You know, I can't even say nothing about it. Now, as a person, maybe a whole different discussion, but from a business standpoint, he's done it right. So, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I just wanted to have that conversation because the thing, I think as we move forward and we start getting back to a level of normalcy and companies start operating a little differently and we start talking about, you know, people doing more face-to-face events, whether that's even on the local level or whatever, I think there's going to be more opportunities again. And I don't think people should be afraid to take those deals. Like, it's just development of your brand. It allows you to pay your bills and do what you like to do, save some money. You know, hell, when you're trying to be a full-time content creator, you're paying for your own insurance, your own savings. Right. You know, that money's got to come from somewhere. So go out, get paid, just do it in a way that's authentic to you and your brand so you don't alienate a large percentage of your viewer base and your fans. You know, you don't want to, don't play your fans for being dumb. You know, they know, they learn who you are and they listen to what you say and what you're into. So just keep it authentic. All right, Brian, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media when you're not doing the show?
All right, I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. Our family channel on YouTube is Alan's Ever After.
And as always, you can find me at Power Dragon, PowerDragon on most social platforms. But if you want to spend some time during the day, I've been spending the weekdays doing streaming over on Facebook Gaming, which is actually turning out pretty well. So come by, say hi. But as usual, wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And please remember to wear your mask, wash your hands, stay away from other humans, so we can get back to gaming and gathering sooner rather than later. If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us on our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate under patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at colorofmtg. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.